There we go.
Well, let's pray a minute. We'll look into the Word of God today.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this time, and I thank you for this message that you've given us. And Lord God, just use it to expand us, Lord, to grow us, Lord, to minister to us, and I thank you for it. Lord, let your Word be true to us today. Let it stand up and just get our attention. Lord, we want our attention drawn towards you, and we give you thanks. Use me as your vessel, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to get into action in just a minute, but we're going to go to chapter 1 first, and then look at chapter 28, and so keep your finger there at the end of the book. The earthly ministry of Jesus involved his selection of 12 disciples whom he befriended, he taught, he ministered to, and he revealed miracles. These were the first of many disciples who would follow the teachings of Jesus and become his mouthpiece to the world. Today, you and I are among Jesus's countless disciples chosen to show the love of Jesus and share the truth of the gospel message.
Amen.
Last Sunday, we discussed Jesus' instruction concerning the laying down of your life for your friends. Today, I want us to consider discipleship again, but in a different way. Amen? So I would like you to turn to Acts chapter 1 first, starting with verse number 1. Somebody holler when you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive, after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. All right, that's the beginning of the book of Acts. Let's go to the end of the book of Acts, chapter 28, and starting with verse 30. Holler when you're there.
Amen.
Chapter 28, starting with verse 30.
Amen.
Amen. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. No one forbidding him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
The book of Acts illustrates the Holy Spirit on the move in the world. The book of Acts, sometimes called the fifth gospel, is a continuation of the gospel of Luke. Dr. Luke is the writer of both books. The book of Acts is remarkable in many ways. It acts as a bridge between the gospels and the epistles. The New Testament without the book of Acts would leave a gap in our understanding of the Word of God.
Yeah.
The last recorded fact about Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew is the resurrection, also noted in Acts chapter 1. In the Gospel of Mark, the last recorded act of Jesus is the ascension, which is also found in Acts chapter 1. And the Gospel of Luke, the last recorded fact, is the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is recorded in Acts chapter 1. And in the Gospel of John, the last recorded fact is the second coming of Christ, which is in Acts chapter 1 as well. It is as if the four Gospels had been poured into a funnel in which they all flowed into this first chapter of the book of Acts. Also, the Great Commission, which appears in the different ways throughout all four Gospels, is confirmed in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts furnishes us a platform on which to place the epistles. It makes reading them together an enriching experience, as the book of Acts provides us with the history of the founding of the churches to which all the epistles are directed.
Amen.
The book of Acts records the beginning of the church, or the birth of the church. Interestingly, the book of Genesis records the origin of the spiritual body, which today we also designate as the church. Mm-hmm. The theme, or the key verse, in the book of Acts is found in chapter 1, verse 8, and it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, it appears that the book of Acts is not complete, because it breaks off with Paul in his own rented house in Rome. It seems to have no proper ending. Do you know why? It is because the book of Acts is a continuing story.
Amen.
The book of Acts is a continuing story.
Amen.
This particular book is addressed to a man named Theophilus, which literally means loved by God or lover of God, and it carries the idea of a friend of God. Now, you must understand there is a natural and spiritual side to Scripture. So in the natural, Luke is simply writing to a man named Theophilus. But spiritually, he's writing to all those that love God and have a relationship with God. There are some that believe Theophilus is just a generic title that applies to all Christians. However, from the context of the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, it seems clear that Dr. Luke is writing to a specific individual, even though his message is also intended for all Christians in all centuries. While both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts have applications for all Christians, they were probably written to a specific individual whom Luke addresses as most excellent Theophilus, which is a way of greeting a Roman who held a high place of prominence or status. Now, you need to understand some of these scriptures. In chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, let's look at that for a minute. It says this, "Until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen," verse 3, "to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Jesus had preached the kingdom, and now he was commanding them to preach the kingdom. Then he promised his followers in verse 8, this famous verse we know, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth."
Wow. Yeah.
Now, let me give you just a little more background in Acts. I want you to get this. The book is divided. In the first 7 chapters of Acts, they record the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles at Jerusalem. The first 7 chapters at Jerusalem. Then chapter 8 through 12 record the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles in Judea and Samaria. Amen. Through Judea and Samaria. And the remainder of the book is devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ at work by the Holy Spirit through the apostles into the uttermost parts of the earth. The uttermost parts of the earth. Do you see how that follows the promise in verse 8?
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
When we come to the 28th chapter of Acts, verse 30 and 31 that we read just a few minutes ago, we find that Paul now has his own rented house, and he is preaching and teaching with all confidence without any restrictions. Those things which, any restrictions concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He's free. He's out of jail. He's in his own place. He's paying for it. But then the book ends. Then the book ends. But that's not the end of the story.
That's right.
Because everything from chapter 29 forward is to be lived by us and revealed to others throughout the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 3, it says this, clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart.
Amen.
The question I have for you this morning is this. Are you busy writing the 29th chapter of Acts? Are you busy writing the 29th chapter of Acts? Are you keeping the commandment in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18, commonly called the Great Commission? It says, and he said to them, go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Are you keeping that commandment, or are you being content going to church, having service as usual, going home, and waiting till next Sunday to do it all over again? And while you're there, you're seeing who can sing the loudest or shout, and waiting to see if someone's going to be slain in the Spirit. Saints, understand, we must get past the surface of worship, past the constant repetition. True worship is carrying on what God has established so that we, as His disciples, are bringing Him glory and honor.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Now, someone may say, Pastor Jerry, how can I be the 29th chapter of Acts? How can I be the 29th chapter of Acts? Please understand that you are writing the gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and by the words that you say. Others can read what you write, whether faithless or true. So what is the gospel according to you? I want you to listen to this story. I don't know if it's factual, but it works in my message. Amen? There was a town that had a statue of Jesus with his arms outstretched like the Rio de Janeiro statue of Jesus in South America. One day a storm came, blew the statue of Jesus over and broke it. The people worked diligently to repair the statue, and when it was finished, everything was back in place except for the hands and the feet. They could not be found. The people began to panic because the statue had no hands and feet, and decided to take the statue down. Then an old man came. Old man. With a plaque in his hand. He set it and set the plaque in front of the statue and walked away. The people wondered who this man was because no one recognized him or knew where he came from. The plaque simply read, "This statue has no feet and no hands because you must be his hands and his feet."
Yes.
How do you and I become the 29th chapter of Acts? We must be his hands and feet. We must do what he wants us to do, go where he wants us to go, say what he wants us to say, and live how he wants us to live.
That's right.
Please understand, folks, the 29th chapter of Acts is not written in ink. It will never be included in the Bible. But the 29th chapter of Acts is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The 29th chapter of Acts doesn't just sit in the sanctuary on Sunday morning, clapping hands and singing hymns, believing they have accomplished the Great Commission. Amen. On the contrary, true believers must live and understand Romans chapter 15, verse 20 and 21. And I like how the NIV says this. It says, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation." Verse 21, "Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand."
Yes.
The 29th chapter of Acts is willing to leave the comfort of the church building to go out to minister among the people wherever they are. The question is, are you willing to leave your comfort zone so people will see your good works and glorify God? Or are you one that would rather hold on to the rudimentary traditions of men? Now, get a hold of this thought, folks. Jesus' interactions with people changed their lives.
Yes.
It changed their lives and their circumstances in astounding ways.
Amen.
Astounding. Just think of the disciples. They were being fishermen, tax collectors. Luke was a physician, and they became the foundation of the church. Blind Bartimaeus was changed from living in darkness to receiving his sight. The woman with the issue of blood, who was literally dying, was changed from being an outcast to being called a daughter of God.
Hallelujah.
The demonic possessed man living among the tombs, unable to be chained, became an example to the rest of the city just of what the power of God could do. The woman of Nain was transformed from a grieving mother to a mother full of joy unspeakable and full of glory when Jesus miraculously returned life to the body of her dead son. What about the 10 lepers who went to Jesus unclean but became clean when they obeyed his words? None of these miracles were accomplished by Jesus remaining in the synagogue.
That's right.
None of them. In his comfort zone. But they were performed in the midst of the people where they lived, where they worked, where they begged and where they carried their dead children in a funeral procession. The 29th chapter of Acts understands that Jesus didn't just point the way to a set of ideals or moral principles. He promised that when we were born again by His Spirit, He would become to live inside of us, guiding and empowering us to live meaningful and godly lives.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let me give you three different scriptures here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. It tells us this. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Jesus also spoke in John chapter 14 and verse 12, and He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Jesus is repeating those specific words to us today. Isn't it time for us to get off the bookshelf and become living epistles of Jesus Christ? We must become an open book, easily accessible and read by all. Many of you have heard this old saying. It says, "Everywhere you go, preach Christ. And when necessary, use words."
Yeah.
How do you preach Christ without using words? By living your life in such a way that people can read it in your actions, they can see it through your good works, and they will ultimately glorify God because of them.
That's right.
But too often, brothers and sisters, we become comfortable and complacent by literally preaching to the choir. Amen? Yeah. Everybody in church knows whether we are really saved or not. Everybody probably knows our testimony. It's time to become the 29th chapter of Acts. It's time that we become the epistles read by all men. Unfortunately, there are 8 words that will destroy the church, kill a ministry, and cause countless souls to be lost. They are, "We have never done it like that before." We have never done it like that before. To be the 29th chapter of Acts, we're going to have to get out of our way and get into God's way.
Yes, yes.
We are epistles whose ink is the Spirit of God, and our paper is the hope of glory in our heart. God has written His word in our hearts by His Spirit so that the world will see us as living manifestations of His word.
Amen.
Men,
amen.
The questions are, who is reading you and what are you reading? What are they reading? Let me say this again. God has written His word in our hearts by His Spirit so that the world will see us as the living manifestations of His word. The questions are, who is reading you and what are they reading? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, Jesus declared, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Verse 15, Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And please catch this, saints. Jesus brought light, life, love, hope, and forgiveness to his creation. So today, we who call ourselves Christians must step out in faith, follow him, and deliver that same message to a world in desperate need of a Savior.
Yes.
Desperate need.
Yes.
Every diabolical thing comes across the television and the internet.
That's right.
Every diabolical thing comes across the television and the internet. But we must shine brighter. We must speak louder. We must stand taller. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
The devil will stop at nothing to keep the world from reading Jesus in our lives. We must stop at nothing to ensure that the world is reading our lives, seeing Jesus through us and glorifying God. We must be his mouth, his feet, his hands. And again, I want to read Mark 16:15-18. And it says, he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
Jesus. When we go out into the world, we must go places he would go. To the down and out, of course, and the successful self-righteous. We must stop being religious in behavior and start being real with the folks God puts us in contact with. Bonnie's reading a book, How to Be Religious Without Looking Like an Idiot. Being real. Not filled with Christianity, but real.
Yeah.
Or Christianese, let me put it that way. Without being filled with Christianese. We become the hands of Jesus, tending, preserving, serving, and healing the world which he loves and has entrusted to us, his followers. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 26, it said that God created man in his own image and likeness. However, through sin, this image became corrupted, unrecognizable, lost, forgotten by humankind. Our natural relationship with God was broken because of sin. So Jesus came to provide escape from death, reconciliation in our relationship with God, and restoration of the lost image of God in which we have been created.
Yes. Yes.
We as epistles of Christ act as a spiritual mirror by which others might come to recognize the lost image of God that lies within them. Amen? As the 29th chapter of Acts, we become epistles that contain the mirror, held up for others to see themselves lost without God. Then others read us and see Jesus reflected in the mirror. They will understand that they are valued and loved and treasured. It is then that the hearts will begin to unfold like flowers before him. It is then that the veil is lifted. It is then that understanding is restored. It is then that sanctifying grace can truly begin its work of rebuilding the human soul. We have been transformed. Yes. Transformed. That's a powerful statement which reminds us of the responsibility that comes with it.
Yes.
By being transformed, all things have passed away and Amen. All things are now new.
Thank you, Lord.
It is our responsibility to be ambassadors and demonstrators of God's transforming power to those around
Hallelujah.
Us. Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.
His transforming power to all of those around us. People are hurting. They're dying. They're crying. They're speeding rapidly on the way to hell. Eternally lost unless they can see the epistle of Christ in front of them and read through our lives, folks, the wonderful things of God and glorify Him with us. Amen?
Yes, thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Thank
Unfortunately, you, Lord. Too many so-called Christians neglect the basics of the faith by not going out and making disciples of all men, which means we are literally replacing sound doctrine with old traditions and new teachings. We ignore the Great Commission. So we are changing the gospel message. Brothers and sisters, let's never forget who we are in Christ.
Yes, amen.
And if we do not know what our call, our duty, and our responsibilities are, how are we going to grow in our faith, in our maturity, and in our character, not to mention in leading others in the direction of God's call? Let's be part of the continuation of the book of Acts by keeping our eyes focused upon the Lord, with Him being our heart's desire and literally becoming the hands and feet of God.
Amen.
Pleasing Him must be our chief ambition in life.
Amen.
Our chief Yes. ambition. And at this critical time, we must not be distracted from this purpose.
Right.
Yes, you and I have to live life. But in the life we do live, we should continuously portray the living Christ. Whatever your job or responsibility, portray Christ.
Yeah.
Because there will always be someone who is reading what you're writing. Remember what I said earlier. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you speak. Others read what you write, whether faithless and true or true. Hey, Christian, what's the gospel according to you? What's the gospel according to you? Just building this message has changed my life. I hope hearing this message has changed your life. I love the church. I love the church house. I love to be singing and clapping and praying and shouting and running around in it. But we're called to that place out there.
Yes.
Amen.
We are.
Each one of us has a sphere of people around us. you work a 9-to-5 job, you have lots of people that are not serving God. Folks, we need to get out of the church house to do the work of Jesus. I hope this has stirred your spirit.
Yes.
Let's stand together. I want to pray for you to become evangelists. You know, most of us know Harold that came here before COVID, and Harold just was an evangelist. He was just, he'd automatically talk to people about Jesus.
Sure.
And I have been so envious of people like that through the years. You know, just, it's so easy for them because it's always been so difficult for me. But that doesn't change what God has asked us to do, because there's still people that I can talk to that recognize me or trust me or will hear the words that I speak, even though I may not be able to walk up to a perfect stranger and start a conversation like Harold could. But there's people that need to hear what I have to say, because I'm part of Acts.
That's right.
I'm part of the gospel of Christ. And every one of us is the same way.
That's right.
I pray lots of times, Lord, give me the strength, I guess, the courage to even roar like a lion in front of people. And I don't mean I'm out to warn. I mean the courage to talk, courage to share, courage to speak, courage to be seen as someone that's different than them. They may believe totally different. That don't make them right. We need to do the work of evangelists, folks. Let me pray for you and then we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this group that's here today. Lord, I prayed for this service, so the ones that are here, I know you intentionally wanted them here. And Lord God, thank you for that. Lord, I ask you to equip us to do the work of an evangelist. We call them evangelists because they're reaching out all the time. And we give you glory and praise.
Thank you that you put people in front of us.
We praise you for them. They find it so easy to talk about you, Jesus. And some of us, it's so difficult. That doesn't change the direction that we are to do or to go. We're still to be your evangelists. So Lord, I ask that you just equip us with the courage if we need it, with the strength if we need it, the words to speak, the words to say. And not as anything special, but words of love.
Oh God. You could just
words filtered through love.
Yes, God.
And I thank you for that. Lord, use your church. Build your church. Lord, your scripture says if we hold you up, you'll draw all men to you. To us, Lord. And we use that as an example for the church, but Lord, I believe it's an example for us as well. Lord, we're going to hold you up. And I ask you to draw people to that witness, to to that gospel that they can read. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a great morning.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you for this message, Lord. Lord, I can't imagine Paul just staying in that rented house for a long time. But I picture him, after verse 30, getting out of that house and finding some more people that need you. Lord, make us like that. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Amen. I love y'all. God bless you.
Good. Yeah, it's going good.
Okay.